Let's start with the story that is reshaping energy markets, NATO alliances, and the American defense budget all at the same time. On day 9 of the active U.S.-Iran military conflict, Iran launched ballistic missiles at 3 Saudi targets overnight. The list reads like a worst-case scenario for global oil supply. Prince Sultan Air Base southeast of Riyadh, Yanbu Port on the Red Sea coast, and the Samref refinery, which is a joint Saudi Aramco and ExxonMobil operation that processes crude for export to Asia. The Yanbu strike in particular is alarming because it sits at one end of a critical pipeline that bypasses the Strait of Hormuz. If Iran can threaten both Hormuz and the overland alternative simultaneously, it has leverage over a significant portion of global energy supply.
And the numbers on that supply disruption are already severe. War has knocked roughly 5 million barrels per day out of global markets, and refining margins have hit record highs as a result. When you take that much production offline, refiners who still have crude become extraordinarily profitable because the bottleneck shifts entirely to processing capacity. What's striking is that even within this crisis, oil prices actually pulled back Tuesday morning because mediators, reportedly including Qatari and Omani intermediaries, have put a formal 10-day ceasefire proposal on the table, and Iran has confirmed receiving it. That diplomatic signal was enough to give traders reason to exhale, at least temporarily.
Secretary of State Rubio added another piece to the puzzle. He confirmed that Gulf states have pledged substantial U.S. investment in exchange for American protection of the Strait of Hormuz. That's a fairly explicit protection for payment arrangement, which echoes arguments Trump has been making since his first term about allies shouldering more of the cost of American military commitments. The strategic logic is clear, but it also means the U.S. is now financially entangled with Gulf state security in ways that complicate any ceasefire negotiation.
Then there's the Israeli intelligence report that has added a layer of real uncertainty about Iran's internal stability. Israel says that Mojtaba Khamenei, the son of Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei, and widely considered by many Iran analysts to be his intended successor, has been wounded and is currently being managed by the IRGC inside Iran. We should be careful here because Israeli intelligence claims about Iranian leadership during wartime require independent verification. But if accurate, this matters enormously. The IRGC managing Mojtaba's care suggests the regular state apparatus may be compromised, and it raises questions about succession and internal coherence within Iran's leadership structure.
From a command and control perspective, that's the kind of uncertainty that makes ceasefire negotiations both more urgent and more complicated. Who exactly is empowered to agree to a pause in fighting on the Iranian side? Is it the Supreme Leader's Office, the IRGC, the Foreign Ministry? During a conventional conflict, those lines are clearer. In a partially decapitated command structure, they may not be.
Meanwhile, the Houthis in Yemen have threatened a naval blockade of Saudi Arabia, which would compound the energy supply crisis further. The Pentagon simultaneously confirmed what had been widely suspected, that there are undisclosed American troop injuries from the Iran strikes that had not been publicly reported. The Pentagon is denying that it deliberately concealed this, framing it as operational security. But Senator Curtis from Utah is now calling for full transparency after 2 U.S. service members were killed over the weekend.
The financial dimension of all this is stark. The Pentagon has formally warned Congress that it faces a cash shortfall as war costs mount, with the risk that troop pay funding could run out within weeks. Defense Secretary Hegseth is scheduled to appear before the Senate this week to defend an $87.6 billion emergency war funding request. Congress is heading into August recess, which means lawmakers face a genuinely compressed timeline. Representative John Larson of Connecticut has announced he's preparing a lawsuit to block funding for the war entirely on constitutional grounds, arguing that Congress never authorized military action against Iran.
The authorization question is constitutionally legitimate and historically important. The War Powers Resolution gives the president 60 days to engage in hostilities before requiring congressional authorization. Day 9 means that clock is running. What's unusual here is that you have a Republican senator, Curtis, calling for transparency and accountability while a Democrat is filing suit to defund the operation. The internal politics within both parties on this are genuinely complex, and we'll dig into that more in the domestic politics segment.